Hello and welcome to Big Fish, Small Pod. I'm Andrew Werdahl, and today is August 5th. Where we are really in this Marlins season is a couple of days after the trade deadline. The Marlins had a day off yesterday, traveling to Chicago for three games, all starting at 2:20 Eastern time, just like heads up to you there. 2:20 Eastern time today, Saturday and Sunday for that, like, you know, day games at Wrigley Field. Should be a nice time for baseball for the Marlins and a good time for Peyton Burdick to possibly debut this weekend. He's gotten the call. Whether he gets into a game, it seems, you know, almost a lock. And Edward Cabrera will be returning to the team, allegedly, per Fish on the Farm, starting Friday's game, again, at 2:20. Kind of a weird one. Why I make sure you get that. Some kind of early afternoon baseball. Should be fun.
Ooh, I'm excited!
I say in the most pregnant of ways, because really what I'm talking about today here on Big Fish Small Pod is the envy of Major League Baseball. This, like, well, AJ Preller's Padres. Talking a bit, like, about where the Padres are at, it's been a real, like, process for them to get to this point. Like, as most recently as 2017, they were featuring the lowest payroll in Major League Baseball. Not, like, the first time either, like 2012, another year where they had the lowest payroll. But what we're talking about is this team as it is today, and that really starts with AJ Preller. Hired as general manager in 2014 ahead of the 2015 season, and I want to talk a bit about his history as general manager and how I'm glad he's not the general manager of Miami, and what I think this team, meaning like Bruce Sherman, Kim Ng, and those at the top can learn from this Padres team and their, like, radically different method of team building. So really, when the Padres brought in AJ Preller before the 2015 season, he didn't take a wait-and-see approach with the team like Kim Ng has in Miami. Coming off the playoff season in 2020, Preller, like, immediately took, like, a hot iron to the roster and placed his stamp on the team, acquiring some star players if you've followed the league for a couple of decades now, but maybe some kind of, like, past their prime stars at the time, with Matt Kemp, Will Myers, Justin Upton, Craig Kimbrell, Melvin Upton, at the cost of, like, some major prospect talent. He switched out the team they had there, sent away even, like, outfielders like Carlos Quinton, who had provided decent offense, out of town to get just the players he wanted at the major league level, giving up probably even bigger talent than what he got by trading Yasmani Grandal, Trey Turner, and even the draft pick that the Atlanta Braves used to select Austin Riley. It was a rather, like, devastating set of trades for the Padres, immediately, like, deemed, like, Preller-palooza by the media at the time. But turning that around and taking that team for the 2015 season, amping it up with some major league talent, the Padres wouldn't have a winning record until 2020 from that point, after even more trades that helped turn the roster over again to cut costs. So he took a team that was in third place, reinvented the team, wound up in fourth place the next year, and fans did respond in the offseason to the hubbub. About 250,000 more players attended Padres games in 2015 than 14, and a few more like the year after, but that was about it for, like, an attendance increase. The fans didn't come to this losing baseball. By 2017, Preller's Padres sported the lowest payroll in baseball, and the push to contend had, like, already failed. By 2016, they'd made the call to sell, shipping off, like, a free agent signing, James Shields. Pretty, like, critical piece they got back with Fernando Tatis Jr. from the White Sox. And they continued to make a few other trades to get back some more talent than Chris Paddock, that helped build this, like, Padres team as it is. But with the fact that their general manager had been over aggressive, the whole organization had to reset. So to keep the cash flow solvent, to keep the organization going, really, not knowing exactly the numbers the owners were dealing with San Diego, the fact that he'd gone a bit out of his shorts early was critical and did result in a pinch. And he had done it by, like, shipping off top talent to try to get, you know, whatever he could in that exact moment. Pretty, like, just a lot different than what we see with Kim Ng. So this push for the Padres has centered around top talent. You know, the Juan Soto trade being the talk of the town now. But before that, it was Manny Machado. Like, someone had to pay him. He was, like, a star player. So this signing of Manny Machado, who was a top talent, before the Padres were even expected to be good, the 2017 Padres finished under 500 and saw the debut of Fernando Tatis along with Machado and set, like, that side of the infield up for success going forward. Like, they had established a bit of a core. Because Preller made this, like, rather aggressive offer, didn't backload the money, gave the business room to profit down the line with his, like, 10-year, $300 million deal that allocated a $20 million bonus up front to Machado before settling into, like, a regular, steady income. We've seen fans reward that effort. Obviously, it seems like it's yet to be seen whether or not the Padres team will profit from this season, but with Juan Soto, Manny Machado, Tatis around beyond 2022, Padres fans have plenty of choices for, like, player jerseys, and honestly, their uniforms are kind of great. The, like, brown and yellow, it's a unique color palette in baseball. With their, like, plus their City Connect uniform are, like, really cool to see. It's not really a wonder why the Padres have the fifth largest crowds so far in 2022 to go with their $208 million payroll. Fans reward that effort. And by signing Machado, Preller really drew the line for this reinvention of the San Diego Padres, logo and all. And it is thanks to that over-the-top effort that the name San Diego Padres will have a different meaning for a new generation of fans than it did 10, 20 years ago. So taking this back to Miami, obviously Kim Ng has been a lot different as general manager. She didn't blow all of her options immediately like AJ Preller and won't have to recoup a farm because of it. So from the start, Kim Ng does have us ahead, but without the strongly visioned investment into, like, a top-tier talent like Machado, it's not clear that Miami has the in-house role modeling even for that level of performance from an everyday player. No Marlin has led the league in at-bats and led with strong production. For all the talent we see in an everyday player like Jazz, a veteran star really sets a different precedent. And it's certainly to the Marlins' favor that they do not need to follow Preller's model of, like, ruin the team, restore the team, then optimize from there. Kim Ng came in and committed to a core and complemented the roster, and then worked that again, signing Sandy long-term, filling up the roster with some role players in areas of need, like Soler, Avi, and Stallings. And that did come from strong business in Miami, which we saw the team sign deals with Bally Sports, Loan Depot, and that led to the money invested. So it isn't clear from this moment how much is available beyond what's already spent, but the next step to improve the team is incredibly clear. It's adding to the top of the roster with a major and aggressive investment. And if Miami doesn't have that money to put forward to a free agent, it's not clear that they'll ever be competitive with these teams that are building out these, like, big three type rosters, thinking the Padres for one, and the Atlanta Braves with Acuna and Albies, and now Austin Riley in long term.
It actually is a matter of like competitive parity. Like, you're not differentiating yourself by going for these stars. The Texas Rangers last year got two star players for like nine-figure contracts, and they're just in the middle of the pack themselves. And that's a team that's done what we're asking the Marlins to do twice. It's actually that saturated of a market for top talent in Major League Baseball. Looking ahead to this free agency, Aaron Judge and Trey Turner jump out as like the type of difference-making stars out there. And we know nothing can really change until then. But truly, I admire the way Kim Ng has kept the window for Miami fully open and stretched it out with trades for talented long-term players like Jesus Luzardo and Jordan Groshans. But those sorts of games seem so marginal compared to what AJ Preller and the Padres have been able to put together across the country, but in the National League. Totally a lot to think about between now and the offseason, when the Marlins will be making their more major decisions for this team. But until then, plenty of baseball to watch. Weekend series again against the Cubs. 2:20 start times. Look out for the debut of Peyton Burdick, the return of Edward Cabrera, and some nice weather at Wrigley Field. Fish Stripes Live will be with you before the game, but for the podcast, I've been Andrew Werdahl. I'll be back with you on Wednesday.